Bless you. We appreciate that. There are only one of two explanations as to how the world came into existence and how man came into being. One is true, the other is a lie. They both cannot be true. There is, to begin with, the theory of evolution. Then there is the fact of special creation. God did it. If man came into existence by evolution, that says a lot of things. Number one, there is no God, there is no supreme being, there is no intelligent design. It all sort of just happened. In other words, evolution says man came into existence by chance. Creationists say it happened by choice. God chose to do it. This God existed before He created anything. He predates creation. He made it all, and He controls it all. Now, the best place to start in this series on Baptist doctrine, biblical doctrine, is with the very first thing that happened. Our text is Genesis 1, verse 1. Let's start at the beginning, because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If there is no God, then man did come into existence by chance, and that means that the heavens and the earth are all the product of a random fluke. But today we're going to look at three things in this one verse. Number one, when, in the beginning. Number two, who, God. Number three, what, He created the heavens and the earth. Let's notice, first of all, when. It happened, Moses said, in the beginning. Now, when was the beginning? Well, the beginning was when God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. In the beginning, God did that. It happened first. God is timeless. That's why Jesus calls Himself the Alpha and the Omega. He never had a beginning. He will never have an ending. Man is not timeless. We are very mortal. God is timeless. Not the earth. The earth had an origin. God made it. And I got news for you. God is going to destroy this earth when He's good and ready. Did you know that 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 tells me that the earth is not going to be destroyed by global warming or by climate change or by nuclear weaponry? The scripture says that one day, 2 Peter 3:10, God is going to blow it up. He made it. He's going to destroy it according to the prophetic promise, again, of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. When God made it all, time as we know it began. There were no calendars. There were no clocks. There was no time before creation. Everything has to have a beginning, except God. You had a beginning. I had a beginning. The earth had a beginning. You had your beginning when you were conceived. I believe that. That is why abortion is murder, plain and simple. You are taking something that God breathed life into. The moment of conception, you had your origin. You didn't start at 3 weeks or 10 weeks or 9 months or the moment you were born. The animal kingdom had an origin. In Genesis chapters 1 and following, it talks about how all the animals and all the plants were made during the first 6 days of creation. And so God did this. I've never had a problem believing in God. I've never had a problem believing that God made everything we see, both visible and invisible. Now that begs the question, and this is where we get into a little bit of controversy. How old is the earth? Depends on who you ask. It literally runs the gamut from 7,000 years to 35 billion years. That's a pretty wide range, wouldn't you think? Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that the earth is not 35 billion years old. That's what the scientists are teaching, and that's what your children are being taught in the public schools for the most part, that the earth is billions and billions and billions of years old. Evolutionists say this, and do you know why evolutionists say that the earth is billions of years old? Because their theory of evolution will not fit into a 7,000-year-old earth. Think about it. For their theory of evolution to be correct, evolution needs billions and billions of years. From going to a tadpole, to a monkey, to a human being, it takes millions and even billions of years. And that is why they believe the earth is that old. If the earth is only 7,000 years old, which I believe that it is, give or take a few hundred years, if the earth is that old, the theory of evolution goes out the window. That's why evolutionists hate Christianity and hate the doctrine of creation, because it only happened 7,000 years ago. Now, when you read the Old Testament, and we're not going to delve into this today, that is not my subject matter. But when you look at the genealogical record in Genesis 5 and Genesis 11, you know the begats, that boring part of Scripture that nobody ever does their daily devotions in? So-and-so begets so-and-so, who begets so-and-so, who begets so-and-so, who begets so-and-so. These are called the genealogical tables. And when you read the genealogical tables, and I will grant you there are probably some gaps in the genealogical tables. Most scholars believe that. But when you look at the genealogical tables beginning with Adam, you can trace mankind all the way back about 7,000 years. Now again, please understand this. This is important. You cannot accommodate the theory of evolution in 7,000 years. That's why when you get around some smart people, people who think they're smart, people who profess that they're wise, but they're really fools according to Romans 1, they're going to laugh at you when you say that the earth is 7,000 years old and that's how old man is. But I am telling you what the Bible says. Scripture teaches this. Now, here's another question. If the earth is 7,000 years old, why does it look so much older? And it does. This earth looks old. Not because it is old, it just looks old. Let me give you the best answer I can to that. The earth looks old, even though it's 7,000 years old, give or take, again, a few hundred or maybe even a few thousand years. It looks old because of the ravages of sin on the earth. Sin will mar and ravage everything it touches. Any of you look younger today than you did 20 years ago? No? Got bad news for you. It's only going to get worse. You say, well, I certainly didn't come here today to hear that. Well, you just did. I'm sorry. I want you to know that the earth looks old because sin has so ravaged the earth. Let me tell you what Paul says in Romans 8. He said that when man sinned, it affected humans. It affected the animal kingdom. It affected the earth. Paul says in Romans 8 that one day this earth, which is in bondage now under sin, we got a beautiful world, but it has been marred by sin, and it's getting older, and it looks worse and worse and older as each year passes. But the animal kingdom and mankind and the plants and the trees and all of it has been marred by sin to such a degree that the earth looks old, but again, older than it really is. Pastor went to visit a nursing home one day. And he was kind of walking up and down the hall and just visiting with people. He stopped by a man who was sitting in a wheelchair. He didn't know him. He just thought he'd strike up a conversation. The man was shivering. He was under a blanket, and he was sitting in the wheelchair. And the pastor said, "Sir, you look like you've had quite a long life." He said, "What do you attribute your longevity to?" And the man was shaking. He said, "I drank all the liquor I could get my hands on. I smoked all the dope I could. I committed sexual sin for years." He said, "It's just, I was just having fun.
He said, "Well, my goodness, how old are you?" He said, 24.
The earth looks old because of the ravages of sin. Sin will age you. It aged the earth. So I want you to know that Romans 8:22, let me just repeat this again. You may want to write this down. One day the earth is going to be delivered from the curse of sin. It's called the millennial kingdom. Jesus will come back one day and he'll sit on a throne in Jerusalem and establish that kingdom. But right now, Paul said, even though the earth is in bondage to sin, one day it is going to be delivered into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Here's the second thing, not only when, in the beginning, but who? Who did it? God created the heavens and the earth. God is the architect of creation. I believe that all my life. Nobody has ever been able to come close to pushing me toward atheism or even agnosticism. When I look at the heavens, David said in Psalm 8, and the sun and the moon and the stars, I am reminded that such a big God thinks about me and it humbles me. God did this. There's no one else you can attribute this to. John 1:1, listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. All things. Visible and invisible. Folks, when you study the intricacies of the human body and the complexities of outer space and all of the planets and galaxies and constellations, you can't help but believe that there is a God. How in the world, when you study all of that, can you believe that we came from a tadpole in a murky swamp somewhere in Africa? No, it didn't happen over the course of billions of years, even though evolution says, here's how it started. One microscopic piece of protoplasm in some murky swamp, most evolutionists believe it happened in Africa, and over billions and billions and billions of years, we came into existence. I want to ask you a question that no one has ever been able to sufficiently answer for me. If we came from apes, why are there still apes around? Answer that. Now see, evolution says you are continually evolving into something better. That's the gist of evolution, that over billions of years, you get better and smarter, and it would seem to me to be a logical thing that apes would not be around today if we evolved from them. You would think they would be extinct. The fact that man and monkeys coexist today means that evolution is a lie. Now, here's the crux of the issue. An evolutionist will tell you, because evolution is based on atheism, at the very heart, at the core, the foundation of evolution is atheism. There is no God. So you ask an atheistic evolutionist, how did life begin? And they will always say it started with a spark of life. And that spark evolved from a tadpole, amphibian, primates, apes, monkeys, all the way down to us human beings. It happened, they say, with one spark of life. I have asked people who believe in evolution this one question. Nobody has ever been able to sufficiently answer this for me. Where did the spark of life come from? There has to be a first cause. Every evolutionist will say at some point, billions and billions, 35 billion years ago, there was a spark of life in a primordial swamp. And that's where we came from. Where did the spark of life come from? Evolution is a lie, but the spark of life didn't happen, as the evolutionists say, God made Adam and Eve. We did not descend from primates. Listen to this. Little girl went to her mother one morning. She said, "Mama, She said, I want to ask you a question. She said, what is it, honey? She said, where do we human beings come from?
Oh, she said, honey, God made us. We came from Adam and Eve. She said, that's funny. Daddy, the other day, gave me a different answer.
I said, Daddy, where did we human beings come from? And he said, we came from monkeys.
She said, honey, you need to understand, your father was talking about his side of the family and not mine. So, turn to Matthew 19 for a moment. Matthew 19. I was talking to a man in my first church who claimed he was a Christian, but he just did not believe in the Genesis account of creation. And you've got an option. If you don't want to believe God made the heavens and the earth, then the only other option you have is that it just happened. Life does not happen spontaneously. That is an impossibility. It just doesn't happen that way. But here we are in Matthew chapter 19, and Jesus is going to tell you that he believed in Adam and Eve. Evolutionists do not. When you tell people you believed Adam and Eve were real people, they'll laugh you to scorn. I took a beating, verbal beating in college in a religion class when I made the audacious statement one day, I believe the Genesis account of creation, and I also believe Adam and Eve were real people. And they laughed at me. Jesus said they were real. I don't think you can find a better authority than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in Matthew chapter 19, let's just read this for a moment. Jesus said, again, Matthew 19, let me get there. The scripture says in this passage, let me turn over and find it here. Matthew 19:4. Look at these words. Have you not read? Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning, when was the beginning? When the heavens and the earth were created. That was the beginning. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God, said Adam and Eve were real. If you deny that, you are calling Jesus Christ a liar, and I don't think I'd do that if I were you. Jesus affirmed not evolution, but special creation, right here in this chapter in the book of Matthew. Third thing quickly. When in the beginning? Who? God? What? Created the heavens and the earth. The earth. He made it. Everything, according to Hebrews, that has been made was made because of his intervention. How did God do that? How did God make the heavens and the earth? We've all read in the book of Genesis where over and over and over the Bible says God said. God said, let there be light. God said, let the waters teem with animal life and marine life. Let there be trees and flowers and birds. God spoke, and there it was. Turn to Hebrews 11. This is the last verse I'm going to have you look at. But in Hebrews 11, the writer of this book tells you how God did it. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. You know, I heard a preacher say on one occasion, he was talking to a man who just had trouble believing that Jesus Christ could be born of a virgin. He said, I can't believe it. I just cannot believe that any person could be born without male intervention from a woman. And he said to him, sir, do you believe in Genesis 1:1? Oh, he said, sure, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He said, I want to tell you, if you can believe that, nothing else in the Bible should give you any trouble. If God can create everything we've seen, visible and invisible, you shouldn't have trouble believing anything else in the Scripture.
But this passage in Hebrews 11:3 says we know. Now, again, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. We know, according to this verse, who spun it all into existence. Hebrews 11 and verse 3, we know that the worlds were framed like a carpenter would frame a house. The worlds came into existence and they were framed by what? The Word of God. By the Word, not this Word of God. This Word of God was not around when God created the heavens and the earth. He's talking about the spoken Word. God spoke. There it was. God said, let there be light. God said, God said, God said, God spoke. And so this verse says that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, ladies, when you bake a cake, you are making something out of something. You've got the butter, you've got the flour, you've got the sugar. When a carpenter builds a house, he's making something out of something. Wood and nails and mortar and brick. But this verse says God made something out of nothing. The Latin phrase is ex nihilo, meaning out of nothing. God made something when there was nothing there. Here's how one preacher put it. God took nothing, made something out of it, hung it on nothing, and told it to stay there. And it did. And it's still staying there. We are seeing today, and I'm closing, a proliferation of violence in our society not seen since the days before the flood. Life is cheap. Blood is being shed. People are losing their lives because of violence and drugs. Never have we seen a time quite like this. Somebody asked me, why is violence so dominant today all over the world? Why are we seeing so much killing and hatred and bloodshed? My answer for that has always been and still is, when you teach children in the public schools, if they came from animals, you shouldn't be shocked they act like animals. That's what we're teaching our children. You came from an ape. You came from a little piece of protoplasm that turned into a monkey that eventually turned into who you are today. And if you came from an animal, it isn't too hard to believe that people will act like an animal. No, you are the special creation of God. I believe that. And here's the reason. The Bible tells me so. And that is enough. Let's pray together. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we'll have the invitation momentarily. I want to remind you who you are. You are the special creation of God who loved you so much that He sent a Savior to die for you. That's the kind of God you have. And if you don't know Him today, I'm telling you, one day you will stand before Him and you will give an account for your life, and it won't end well. Let me tell you how it can end well. Come to the cross, repent of your sins, and be saved. That's how you get to heaven. God made it all. God made it for our enjoyment, for His good pleasure, for His glory. And we give Him the praise He deserves today for being our Savior, Creator, and the lover of our eternal soul. Heavenly Father, thank You that Your Word is true. And we take a moment and pray for those, even in our community, who have blinders on. They cannot see creation for what it is. They believe, and they've been taught this, that they have descended from primates. And because they have, there is no God. But Father, we know better. We know that You made us, and You made us for a purpose. Father, everyone under the sound of my voice in this sanctuary this morning was created for a purpose. Their job is to find out what it is so they can serve You for Your glory. I pray You'd bless the invitation today, and thank You again for Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's